Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Is that correct? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Maya te kari megavan. Makabango anugritnata. Anugritnata. Maranu smritaye nityam. Matasyendra sriyabhisham. Sri Bhagavanu Vacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Maya, by me, te, unto you, akari, has been done, Magavan, my dear Indra, Maka, of your sacrifice, Bunga, the stopping. So up to here. So this has been done, my dear Indra, to you. I've done this to you. And what was the thing that he had done? Makabhanga. He has stopped the sacrifice. Now Krishna is beginning to explain in the exchange that Indra said, going to explain why he did what he did here. In the next word, anugritnata. Acting to show mercy to you. Mad anusmritaye. For the sake of remembrance of me. Nityam, constant. So what the next part of the verse is explaining, I have done this to you, I've broken your sacrifice, I've stopped the sacrifice out of my mercy to you. Why? Because I want to reestablish you, mad anusmitaya nityam. I want to establish you in constant remembrance of me. We can make it a little bit clearer. Krishna wants, out of his mercy, to establish Indra in remembering him. And Indra, in fact, did become established in remembering Krishna, but it was until he understood and accepted Krishna's powerfulness of Krishna's position and relationship to him. His thinking of Krishna constantly was pratikul or unfavorable. But as soon as he understood who Krishna was, how powerful Krishna was, then in his heart lamentation appeared. Look what I have done. And followed by surrender to Krishna, and the surrender was manifest in these prayers. The apology and surrender is manifest in these prayers. So Krishna had arranged these things to force Indra to remember him constantly. So what was stopping Indra from remembering Krishna constantly? The next one, next line, the final line. Matasya, of one intoxicated. Indra Sriya, with the opulence of Indra. Vrisham, greatly. So what was stopping Krishna or Indra from constantly remembering Krishna, even though he was a servant of Krishna, was that he was intoxicated by the pride of being the great controller of heaven. So here is the verse. I'll read it first, and then please repeat after me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, let me just read it first, and then we'll repeat it. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence as King of Heaven, and I wanted you to always remember me." So please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence as King of Heaven. And I wanted you to always remember me." Now here's the purport. Now listen carefully, because we shall have a discussion based on the verse and purport. We shall try. So please, the first thing I'll ask you is, what do you remember? So please listen carefully. According to Sridhar Swami, and then I'm going to ask you that perhaps the relationship between one concept in the verse and another, and what is the meaning of this and why that is true. So so please listen. According to Sridhar Swami, Indra and Lord Krishna here exchanged a heart-to-heart talk. Indra revealed his mind to the Lord, and now Lord Krishna similarly reveals his own intentions. In text 11 of this chapter, Indra emphatically declared that Lord Krishna is in fact everything. And thus, according to Indra's own criteria, forgetting Lord Krishna is clearly a state of insanity. When the Supreme Lord reminds us of his supreme existence, he is not proudly advertising himself like a mundane politician or entertainer. The Lord is self-satisfied in his own infinite existence and is trying lovingly to bring us back to our own perfect existence as his eternal associates. From God's point of view, even the mighty King of Heaven, Indra, is a mere child, and a naughty child at that. And thus, the Lord, being a caring father, punished his child and brought him back to the sanity of Krishna consciousness. Om Shalakaya Saksam Samalitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Yoga Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stavitam Jaina Vitale Sayam Mutakudam Sapadantika Vancha Kapatibhyascha Kripa Sindhya Patitanam Pabinevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama. Okay, what do you remember from the purport? We gave you sufficient. Isn't it interesting how we listen more carefully, or we attempt to listen more carefully when we want to, basically, and when we don't really feel there's a need, we don't. Anyway, it's some interesting to watch the peculiarities of the mind. Yes, Moni.
Forgiving Krishna is a state of insanity.
Yes. Interesting statement. Why? It's also said in there why. Why that's insanity. Is that some sectarian feeling that forgetting Krishna is a state of insanity? Does anyone remember what was stated a little bit before that, and which explains why it's a state of insanity? Muni, do you remember? Yes, but one step before that. Yes?
Because Krishna, Indra prayed to Krishna that he's everything.
Yes, it's the point that he's everything. And to forget Krishna, because we're always thinking of something. Not for a moment can we not think of something, and not for a moment can we not do something. So we're always acting, we're always thinking, and Krishna is everything. So there is nothing that doesn't have a connection with Krishna. So everything we think, every thought we have, every act that we do is actually connected with Krishna. And we don't see that connection. Krishna ultimately is reality, because there is nothing separate from Him. That's why the Bhagavatam in the first verse calls Him, in the first verse to the Vyasateva, meditates on Krishna as the Param Satyam, the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth means that there is nothing separate in existence from Him. Nothing is separate in existence from Krishna. And to think of something as if it's separate from Krishna is called illusion. And Maya, of course we know, means illusion. And Maya's specific job is, Maya can't separate us from Krishna, because that's an eternal fact, because Krishna is indeed everything. But to separate us in our consciousness, to block the connection in our minds between Krishna and anything else or everything else, that is the functioning of Maya. To block the connection between Krishna and everything. That's what Maya does. Maya means is not. It provides us with an illusory understanding of reality, a false understanding of reality, whereas we see everything as disconnected from Krishna. And to see things in a way that is contrary to reality is called, just like if, what color is the wall?
Green.
If you see it as purple, color blindness. No, color blindness is something different. Or if you see yourself as Napoleon, or if you see a car that's driving down the road as a flower petal, very dangerous. And that's called what?
Insanity.
And therefore the statement is made, as Muni pointed out, that to see, because Krishna is everything, to forget Krishna is actually in fact insanity, because everything has a connection with Krishna. Thank you. Anyone remember anything else? Because I've spoken so long, it's hard to remember what happened. Because Krishna also says that forgetfulness comes from Him. What verse of the Bhagavad Gita? Sanskrit? Mata smitam jnanam apohanam cha. What does apohanam mean? Forgetfulness. So forgetfulness, the fact that I can't remember something from that I just heard 5 minutes ago, that's also Krishna. Because Krishna is everything. And in fact, we would like to forget certain things. Sometimes we're plagued. It's a plague by things that we remember that we shouldn't remember, that we wish we didn't remember. And sometimes we forget things that we should remember. And ultimately, the thing that we should remember is Krishna at all the time. Excuse me, at all times. At every time. Why should we remember Krishna at every time, at every moment?
Insanity.
What do you think?
He's the Supreme Truth.
Yes, okay, but why? He's the Supreme Truth, that's okay, but why should we remember Him? Excuse me?
He's all that is.
Yes, He's all that is, yes. And what is the benefit, or what is the result of always keeping our consciousness connected with Krishna? What is the result? The remembrance. Yeah, why do we return to Godhead? Yeah, what were you going
to say? I wanted to say, when we associate with Krishna, we associate with darkness, and Maya cannot exist.
Yes. Yes. Yeah? Did you also, someone else? Yes, Osma.
Are they already fallen in Maya?
Yes, because Krishna is the supreme antiseptic. It keeps the contamination of Maya far away. He keeps that. So therefore the masthead of Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna Surya Samaya Hai Andhakar. Krishna is light, the sun brings light to the consciousness. And Maya is considered darkness. We forget everything. It's like if we get up in the middle of the night and everything is dark, we can't see anything. So to not see things, it doesn't mean that those things aren't there. We turn on the light and suddenly we see all the objects in our room. But in darkness, we cannot see things accurately. So to keep always in the light, to keep always in knowledge, means to keep in Krishna consciousness, because indeed, Krishna is the source of everything and nothing is separate from Him. So to always remember and never forget Krishna, to remember Krishna, never forget Him, this is sarva vidinaseda cha ite eva kinkara. This is the purpose of all the rules and regulations. So how to keep ourselves in constant remembrance of Krishna? This is perfection, if it is done with full love. Otherwise, the mood has to be anukul, or favorable to Krishna, wanting to please Krishna. That is the perfection of our life, when it is done with love. And it is natural, to remember Krishna is natural when we love Krishna. And yet, and also, remembrance of Krishna, or chanting Krishna's holy names, keeping ourselves in the sun of Krishna, in the light of Krishna, is the process. It's also the process, it is also the goal. What is the result of chanting Hare Krishna? Srila Prabhupada was asked. And he said, more chanting of Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Because the consciousness becomes purified. And everyone, and every conditioned soul, and every purified soul, dva imau purusha loke chara akshara eva cha, every infallible soul and every fallible soul is longing, is requiring a shelter, because we are tatasta shakti, because we are tiny. We cannot exist independently. We need a shelter. And the freedom or the choice that we have, or the freedom or the purpose of life, is to change the shelter. Because the conditioned souls are now sheltered by the material energy, but being sheltered by the material energy means constant struggle, constant misery, constant anxiety, because the shelter of the material energy means that we have a plan how we're going to enjoy, and the material energy is not cooperating. It will not cooperate. We have to struggle so hard to fulfill our plans, but we can be sure that the universe simply will not cooperate and to fulfill our plans, because first of all, the 6 billion human beings in this world, and they all have different plans, and they all conflict with each other, because my plans, guess who's in the center of my plans? Well, you don't have to guess, because you know. Yeah, I'm in the center of my plans. And who's in the center of this person's plans, and this person's plans, and that person's plans? There's so many different universes, illusory universes we've constructed by the grace of Maya here. And Krishna, as he did with Indra, his plan is to deconstruct our illusory universe, in which I am the center. My illusory universe dictates that I'm the center, the most important figure, the greatest. And everyone and everything should cooperate with me. That's my plan in trying to make the universe cooperate. And Krishna's plan is to deconstruct that mayic concept out of his mercy, so that we no longer think that I am the center, but accept that Krishna is the center. So my plan directly contradicts everyone else's plan, and it also, worse still, It conflicts with Krishna's plan. So if my plan conflicts with everyone else's plan and Krishna's plan, do you think I'm going to succeed? So therefore, constant anxiety, especially in Kali Yuga. Constant anxiety, because we're fighting reality. And if we fight reality, what am I going to say next? What percentage of the time? 100% of the time we lose. Reality always wins. Illusion doesn't win. Darkness cannot stand before light. So this is Krishna's intention. Now look at the verse again. Now why is Krishna, what is standing in the way of Indra accepting reality? From the verse.
His false pride.
His pride. Yeah. His false sense of reality and his inflated concept of himself. The inflated concept of oneself is called pride. And what did Krishna do? He constructed, of course Krishna does many things with one act, but he constructed a whole pastime to remove that pride of Indra. Because why? Why did Krishna want to remove the pride of Indra?
Because he wanted to be perfect.
Yes, that was the purpose. Exactly. And remembrance of Krishna is reality. Because there is nothing separate from Krishna, and we have a full natural connection with Krishna. And feeling separated from Krishna, having turned our back on Krishna, we experience so much angst and anxiety, so much difficulty. So the process is to turn back to Krishna. And again, Krishna has orchestrated this specifically for Indra to turn him back, and the first thing he has to do is remove his pride. Now, how does pride manifest in the material world? Not that there's one way, but raise your hand if you could say a way. Think of a scenario or a way that pride is expressed in the material world. Yeah. Is that a raised hand?
I was going to say, you become high hearted.
Okay, think of a situation where there's some pride and then there's and the result. So that way you become hard hearted, but okay, think of that, yeah? Okay, but think of a particular, because I want to find out specific results of pride. Huh? Okay, then who's proud?
The parents are proud of the children, they think they control the children, they try to control the children.
And then what is the result of that?
Frustration,
because who's the center of, who's the main character and the star of the show in the parents' universe? And it's in this Kali Yuga, it's really hard to get the children to accept that the parents are the star of the show. It's just the opposite. There was a famous, the father, I think it was Yeats's father, when he first visited the United States. No, it was the Baron de Tocqueville or something. One of the two. He visited the United States and he said, from Europe, and he said, "What a strange culture. In our country, the children undergo difficulty to please the parents. And in this culture, the parents are always undergoing difficulty to please the children." And it turns just opposite. The opposite result comes, in fact. So yes, so the result is frustration. What's another sin? So it's pride. These are my children, and they're going to be like this. And they're going to be like that. Because why? Because that's going to make me very happy and fulfill my plans. What's another scenario? Yeah?
having a certain amount of wealth and then seeing that someone else has more and becoming envious.
We're proud of our wealth, how much money. By my power, I've gotten this money. I've been so intelligent. I've done this, I've done that. And then envy comes when someone appears to have something we don't have or more than we have. So frustration, envy. What else? What's another scenario? Yes?
I'd be proud of a job or position, but then people will see that position and they'll try and get it off themselves.
They become envious of you. People become envious of you. And then when people are envious of you, they're always trying to a smile before your face, but in the back comes the knife one day. And you don't see it until it's been carefully inserted. So you have to have people envious. What else? It's another type of scenario, result. Did you come up with a scenario yet?
Women are pretty proud of your beauty in the world.
And the result is? Are you going to reveal all the secrets?
Well, it's not true, so you suffer like anything.
Yeah, you suffer. Well, also, you're proud of your beauty. Of course, men are never proud of their handsomeness or their strength. And then what happens when you get older? Well, first thing that happens, you try to cover it up as quickly as possible. You put on paste and paint and stuff like that, and you paint this in and paint that in and put that. Try to cover it up as much as possible, but reality is relentless. So the result of that is, what did you say? Yes, suffering, because you're covering up something that can't be covered up in time. Yeah.
Plastic surgery, lift up
operation. Face replacement, yeah. This, that. As if the that's actually stopping. They call that cosmetic surgery. Yes. So very, very, very bad. So the universe forces these type of results upon us to show us our pride isn't real. It's based on a false conception. And the false conception is anything other than I am Krishna's servant. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is one of giving up pride and becoming established in our real position. Pride is a symptom of false ego. Because we have whatever we have is Krishna's gift. It comes from Krishna, so we can't be proud of it. We shouldn't be proud of it because it's illusion. And the universe continuously, relentlessly will make the attempt to break our pride, because we can each think of the last thing that happened to you that you didn't want to happen. You know, and the result was so much suffering. But if you think of it, did you think of something? Okay, I went too fast. Think of the last big disappointment that you had. Huh? And you can think there's big disappointment, you know, the kind that happened yesterday, you know, when you were trying to catch a tram and they refused to stop it even though you wanted to get in it. I wanted to get in the tram and it just left without me, you know. What nerve this universe has, don't they understand? So there's the little daily ones, the ones that happen every hour. But then there's the real big ones. The real big ones, the life-changing ones that really turn us upside down. And you become so angry and frustrated, and why did this happen? And oh, like that. And it changes your life even. Because This is Krishna in the form of the universe, of material reality, attempting to crush our pride, our false pride, that we're the center of existence. And that has to be removed before we can be established in reality, our true position and achieve happiness. We're not the center of the universe, but what are we? We're Krishna servants. We're servants of Krishna. We're servants of everyone, practically speaking. If we serve Krishna, we serve everyone. So therefore, the removal of pride is essential in spiritual life. And if one continues, if one has the strength to continue despite what the material nature relentlessly tries to teach us, then one's pride will be removed and one will become a humble devotee. And humility, therefore, is the prerequisite for Kirtaniya Siddhahari. Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya Siddhahari. One has to become humble. And if one becomes humble, truly humble, no longer thinking himself the center of the universe, then also one naturally becomes tolerant. Humility and tolerance come together. Because one cannot be tolerant unless one is humble. Because if one is proud, whatever happens to us that we think is contrary to our plans, we can't tolerate it. We become angry. And those are the petty little things that happen to us all day long that disturb us. It's really only this. It's Krishna teaching us tolerance or trying to remove this false sense of being the center. So when on this day, today, which is Friday, Krishna will, as every other day, Krishna will try to teach us the same lesson. So notice it. Notice the reactions when things don't happen that you want. Notice how you react, whether you become, do you take shelter of anger or greed or lust or filled up with desires or illusion, envy? There are six of these enemies that tend to be the shelter of the mind in the face of the universe trying to remove our pride, illusory pride, that we're the center. And see, watch where your mind takes shelter. If this is a class, that's the homework assignment. Watch and see where your mind takes shelter when the universe, and it will happen. That we can be assured of. Cooperates with Krishna, not with us. And again, the purpose is to remove the insanity, to remove us to our proper position, to bring us to our proper position, and which means removing our pride. So the thing that causes us our anger can ultimately be the cause of our great affection for Krishna. If we understand that this is what Krishna is doing at this very moment, instead of getting angry, if we take shelter of Krishna, we look to Krishna and see his purpose and his plan. If we have knowledge, sufficient knowledge, then rather than anger resulting from this, the result can and will be, Krishna, a softening of the heart, rather than the opposite, the hardening of the heart, the softening of the heart. Oh, Krishna is so kindly trying to teach me this lesson. And like Indra, sometimes we have to get angry, and then when we come back to sense, we realize Krishna is behind it, and then we become humble and feel affection for Krishna. But what step comes in between? we're angry, and then when we realize Krishna is behind it all, what step is in between? Huh?
Lesson taught. You learn some lesson.
Yeah, but in between.
Embarrassed by it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. We're embarrassed. Oh, because we realize I'm so tightly in the grip of Maya, and I see this every day, and yet I'm so tightly gripped by Maya that I fall for these same tricks and traps every day. And that causes the humility that allows us to call out to Krishna for help. So it all sounds very systematic and very simple, and when we try to do it, we find out in fact how difficult this is to be a humble servant of Krishna. One has to be so sincere. And that's what Krishna points out to us all the time too, our lack of sincerity. But in any case, pride is a very integral part of the process. The removal of pride is an integral part of the process of Krishna consciousness. I wanted to read two verses of the Bhagavad Gita and one of Prabhupada's short purports in the 13th chapter, which describes the process of knowledge, or rather the field of activities, the things that are created by Krishna. So, amani tvam adambi tvam. This means humility and pridelessness. These are knowledge, parts of knowledge. Humility and pridelessness. And Prabhupada's purport, this is what he says. And this is part of the purport. As for the knowledge outlined here, this is what knowledge is, and everything outside of this is knowledge. And these are the first two elements of knowledge: humility and pridelessness. As for the knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. Now he's going to define what humility is. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. This is how Prabhupada is defining humility. Because we work very hard and there's a tendency to want that recognition. But humility means, no, I'm established as a servant. I don't want or even require honor and recognition. In fact, that tendency to want yata upasakitam, upasakagan. These are weeds that pratishtadi. Jivam san labha puja pratishtadi yata upasakagan. These are the weeds that will kill our devotional kripa. The desire for prestige is one of the last to go. Subtle reward. Yes, you are so wonderful. You've done so well. You're so wonderful. Probably quite a bit better than everyone else. And this is the tendency to want this. And humility means not to be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man of perfect knowledge who knows that he is not his body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. Because if honor comes, dishonor will come. If we're elated by honor, we'll be crushed by the dishonor. This is the universe working by Krishna's direction. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharachanan. Working by Krishna's direction. He will give us honor and we'll feel wonderful, and then we have to suffer the misery of dishonor. Just to make us give up this bodily, false bodily conception of life. One should not be hankering after this material deception. What a wonderful word Prabhupada uses. It is a material deception. Because actually, we want honor. But who in this world is truly worthy of honor? Because even if we've done something, where does the ability to come from? And if Krishna removes the ability or puts a big elephant in the path or a mountain in the path, as he sometimes does, then what can we accomplish? So it's really by Krishna's grace we can do anything. So therefore it's a material deception to try to convince others and ourselves that we are wonderful. When in fact, we're tiny and insignificant. And we're completely dependent on Krishna. And anything good that happens is His grace. So this is a material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion. And consequently, sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles, and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, very important last sentence to this paragraph, as for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. So today, we may have 10 or 20 or 30 tests even to see if our pride is being, our false pride is firmly there, or is there humility? We'll have some personal private tests. We'll get these constantly. Test means assessment. Assessment means it allows us to judge for ourselves how much these qualities are present or not present. And that's very important information for us to know, because that will inform us where we need work and how much work we need. The second verse that I wanted to read from, where Krishna says, Nirmana Mohan Jita Sangha Dosha. He's describing the surrendering process. This is from the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the process of surrendering to Krishna and to becoming free from the material world. Now Krishna says that we have to understand this world as a tree, like a tree with a reflection of a tree, and we're situated on this tree, and we're attached to this tree and enjoying this tree, and we have to cut it. Our attachment with the process of knowledge. And then, by knowledge, we should surrender. So here is the process of that causes surrender. And the first thing that Krishna says is, Nirmana Mohan Jita Sangha Dosha. Three things we have to become free from. Nirmana, free from pride. First thing he mentions, free from pride, false sense of being the center of the universe, false ego, false sense of self, and illusion, because that is the central first illusion, and jita sangha dosha, false or bad association. And therefore, we should think of Krishna, because that keeps us in good association, and we should associate with devotees. So here is the surrendering process of, and it begins with this freedom from false prestige or freedom from pride. So we'll read Prabhupada's purport, which is quite short, but not so short that you can put your mind out on a vacation for a few minutes. Please listen. These are Prabhupada's words of instruction to us. Let's see what we can hear and think of how much it applies to us. The surrendering process is described here very nicely. So the first point is that the removal of pride or false prestige, the purpose of that is for surrendering or giving ourselves to Krishna, which is a reestablishing of ourselves in our actual position as Krishna's servant. So the surrendering process is described here very nicely. The first qualification for surrender is that one should not be deluded by pride. So that's very similar to what Prabhupada said about pride being a deception. Delusion and deception. And the first delusion and deception is we deceive ourselves and we delude ourselves into thinking, oh, this, I'm so important, I'm so wonderful, why doesn't everyone recognize it, etc., etc. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride, because the conditioned soul is puffed up. Thinking himself the Lord of material nature, it is very difficult for him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know by the cultivation of real knowledge that he is not the Lord of material nature. And this is the issue. We are not the Lord of material nature, and because we are not the Lord of material nature, the material nature is very uncooperative when it comes to our attempts to lord it over material nature. Because we are not the Lord, it's the Lord who does the lording. He lords it over because he's the Lord. We are not the Lord. We are servants of him. And we serve his Maya Shakti first by becoming proud. And especially in Kali Yuga, everyone, even if we have a little bit, we become proud of it. And how dare anyone not understand who I am? This is Kali Yuga. One should know by the cultivation of real knowledge that he is not the Lord of material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord. So as soon as we don't, when we think of ourselves as the Lord and try to lord it over, we're in competition with Krishna. And again, who's going to win? It's clear who's going to win that one, because he's all powerful and we're insignificant. So again, Krishna, through the universe, through life, through reality, wants to teach us this. So whether we accept the lessons or not, or how deeply we accept the lessons of life, determines how far we progress. And again, tests are given, so we can determine this for ourselves. When one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. Pride is due to illusion. For although one comes here, stays for a brief time, and then goes away, he has the foolish notion that he is the Lord of the world. Foolish, deluded notion, we can say. That thus makes all things complicated, and he is always in trouble. The whole world moves under this impression. Which impression? Excuse me? Yes, that I'm the Lord. What a fruitless battle trying to lord it over the material nature. It's clear we're going to lose, right? It's much more bigger and more powerful than we. We just don't have the power to do it. Just imagine, especially at Melbourne, if we decided we want sunlight and we're going to be miserable every time the sun isn't brightly shining. This, how we complicate our life and make ourselves miserable by these false conceptions. Because, in case you didn't notice, the clouds and the sky just simply don't cooperate. People are considering the land, this earth, to belong to human society, and they have divided the land under the false impression that they are the proprietors. One has to get out of this false notion that human society is the proprietor of this world. When one is freed from such a false notion, he becomes free from all the false associations caused by familial, social, and national affections. These faulty associations bind one to this material world. And after this stage, one has to develop spiritual knowledge. One has to cultivate knowledge of what is actually his own, and what is actually not one's own. Now think about that today. Second homework assignment. What is actually mine? How can you tell what is yours? What is a way to tell what is yours? Yes?
Something you take with you when you leave this world.
Yeah. And something you control. You own it when you can take it with you. Say if I can use this asana. I'm using this asana right now. But if I think because I'm using it right now it's mine and I try to take it with you, I'm going to get in trouble with the temple president and temple commander and the temple president's wife, perhaps even too. If I think it's mine, I can use it, okay. But it's not mine. There's a big difference. So think about that today. What is actually mine? And if you think about it in the absolute type of terms that Sringo Kavacha Prabhu said, it can get quite depressing because it narrows it down to a very, very small thing that's ours. Actually ours. And after this stage, we can develop spiritual knowledge. One has to cultivate knowledge of what is actually his own and what is actually not his own. And when one has an understanding of things as they are, he becomes free from all dual conceptions such as happiness and distress, pleasure and pain. He becomes full of knowledge. Then it is possible for him to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. We have to know our position in relationship with Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? There's 2 minutes, we'll end at 9. Yes? I'm sorry, Krishna? Also part of that is that same verse that describes for one who is enthusiastic to hear the Bhagavatam. So Krishna, that's Srinvatam Svakita Krishna, that's the verse you mean. Punya Shravana Kirtan Vidyanti Stoya Bhadani Vidyanoti Sivitam. Yeah, truthful devotee. A devotee is truthful. He understands that he's a servant of Krishna. But the continuous hearing, Nityam Bhagavatam Seva, or daily or continuous hearing, it helps so much in the cleansing process because it separates, differentiates between illusion and reality. It helps us differentiate. So truthful, one who is truthful will deliberate upon the truths of the Bhagavatam, and then he becomes full of truth. He's truthful. That's what truthful means, isn't it? It's full of truth, devoid of illusion. The opposite of truth is falsity. Falsity means illusion. So our consciousness becomes full of truth and devoid of falsity and hypocrisies of all kinds. Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm.